Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, is some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid and some new friends. Mike, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I am drinking some Eagle Rare Whiskey.
Ooh, that sounds both eagle-ish and rare-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, how about you, buddy? What do you got in that mason jar?
I've got a little classic Julius from Treehouse, one of my favorite IPAs of all time.
Mmm, Julius. Stace, what you got in the Frankenstein mug tonight, buddy?
It's just water.
It's just water. Stacey is our good one. Tommy, what do you got? You must have something tasty in that class.
You're drinking Arstone. 10-year-old scotch.
And you're drinking straight from the bottle tonight? What's going on, bud?
No, I got a glass.
Oh, you got a glass, too. Okay.
Yeah. Because, what are you drinking, Tommy? How are you doing?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I am drinking Jameson tonight. I got some Jameson for Christmas, and I have not gone through it. And I, as you know, am a big proponent that liquid is the gift of life. Speaking of which, today we're talking about Joe the Barbarian. Who wants to give us... Oh, come on, Mikey. That was pretty slow.
Pretty slow. Not as slow as Josh, but pretty damn slow.
So, Joe the Barbarian. It's an 8-issue limited series written by Grant Morrison and drawn by Sean Murphy. It was published between 2010 and 2011 by the Vertigo comic series. This is a it's a great book. It's a completely encapsulated story. And it is a urban fantasy set start to finish inside of one boy's house as he both tries to make it to his basement and vanquish the evil from the lands. It's a great little trip through through a sort of a fantastical world that I liken to sort of the Neverending Story, where it is happening both in our world and the next world, and we see sort of the travels, trials, and tribulations of a boy, where the adventure itself is launched by his disability. He is a type 1 diabetic. He becomes hypoglycemic, and we never know if he starts to hallucinate or if he travels between worlds in this lovely little book.
And that'll do it for the podcast. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah.
that was a great summation. Now, the reason this comic book is important and caught our eye is a couple of different things. It touches on a lot of really, really interesting things that we like to talk about, including people who are differently abled in comic books. Also, it teaches kids that being different or being diabetic or having any kind of issue like this is something that can be, you know, a part of your superpowers. It can be part of your power set. You know, you don't have to be ashamed of it, and it can actually make you more special. What I liked about it was that it's an 8-issue series all by itself, and we don't get enough of those, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. One contained story, it doesn't have to go anywhere else.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about Joe getting older. I have to worry about the rest of his storyline. It was a great little story, and I'm done with it, and it was terrific. And I'd like to see some more of those, if I may. Thank you, world. Mike, what did you like about the story? I mean, this is one of your go-to comics sometimes when we talk about, you know, great small great comics that are often overlooked.
And easily accessible for everybody, right? That's how Grant Morrison designed it. He wanted to give his version of a fantasy epic, but didn't want to, you know, write a 10,000-page book. So this is his way of doing it. If you like Grant Morrison, and I love Grant Morrison, this is the most easily accessible thing Grant Morrison has ever written, because most of his shit is way out there, right? I either love it or I think I should love it, but I don't understand it. But this is one of those, okay, yeah, it's an easy to grasp concept. It's a great self-contained story, like you said. And I just, the artwork, which we really haven't talked about, by Sean Murphy, is just phenomenal too. He really transforms Joe's house into a magical world. So you can see the similarities between what's going on. And if we didn't already say it, spoilers are ahead for this book that came out in 2010, 2011. We are going to spoil the heck out of it, because you can't really talk about it without going into the magical lands that he encounters. His pet rat becomes his samurai bodyguard on this journey through the house / the Iron Lands, so the dying boy can bring the light back to the world. You also get, you know, when he leaves the water running in the sink, it creates a waterfall, and that's going down the stairs, and then he's at a waterfall. It's just breathtaking the way they combine the story and the art and the elements of the house with the fantasy setting.
I couldn't agree more. Everything about this screams beautiful. They do so many great things.
I forgot about the toilet dwarfs. I mean, how awesome are fucking toilet dwarfs?
Yeah, awesome and essential. I mean, they not only save Joe at one point, but they also provide Joe with another person in his quest to help him along the way to get him to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rat's like, yeah, my samurai sword. The old guy is like, all right, well.
You can have my kid. I'm disappointed in.
You can have our giant, which realizes that the giant of the toilet bowl dwarves realizes that he's just normal sized in other settings.
So there's a little hanky panky going on in the toilet dwarf world.
Perhaps, maybe somebody was sleeping with a normal-sized postman. That's all I'm saying.
Or Mr. Clean was getting a little action somewhere down deep in the toilet bowl. You don't know.
Yeah. There could have been a magic eraser involved. That's all we're saying.
Magic eraser is what you do to get rid of those kind of stains, buddy.
Yeah, right.
What?
I don't know.
I think, you know, it should also be brought up that there's a great anti-bullying message, not hidden, but as part of the comic book. The reason Joe's in such dire straits in the first place is that he did not eat lunch, and that's what's bringing on this entire episode. When Mike said, go ahead, Tommy. Well,
actually, he didn't eat his sugary snack. He was supposed to eat, he was going on a field trip, and he was supposed to eat this candy bar. So that he would have enough sugar to get him through until dinner time, and the bullies took the sugary snack from him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was lunch. I don't know why I have it in my brain as lunch, but all right. Thank you, Tommy. You know how much I love being corrected. One thing I do want to say is that Mike said, spoilers ahead. I don't think anything that we say can spoil this book, because it's just so jam-packed with so many good little things. Like, we can't tell you all the good stuff because there's just so much in there. And we can't, you know, tell you how wonderful the art is. We can only tell you how wonderful the art is and how wonderful the writing is. You have to experience it. So I'm not too worried about you guys knowing a few bits of the story, because it's more than the sum of its parts. Stacey, you love this, right?
Absolutely. And I love the comparison to Neverending Story, because that's one of my favorite movies. So this was something that I picked up when it came out and collected all 8 issues. I love the story. I love in the very beginning when all of the little references to things like Transformers and, you know, all of the pop culture stuff that pops up in it. You know, that's super, it's always, you know, a super fun thing and not something you see every day. I like it because it's something, you know, as we've talked about, it's an 8-issue series. It's something you can hand somebody and say, hey, check this out. This is super fun. It's, you know, you can read the whole thing and you're done with it. And there's not decades of continuity that I have to catch you up on just so you can enjoy it. You know, and I like to point it out to people who say that Grant Morrison is a difficult read. You know, I agree in some cases, but this is not one of them. This is one that I could definitely say is accessible for people. You don't have to be a huge fan of Grant Morrison to get it and enjoy it.
Well said, my young friend. And by the way, if you like that, I don't know if you've seen this Ready Player One, but I think you'll like that.
I have. I have.
I'm kidding. I know you've
seen Ready Player One. I like the pop culture references. I don't so much like the story and the female character and how she's handled, but that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. We can do that at some point. Yeah, we can do that. Why not? Josh, what are your thoughts on Joe the Barbarian being our resident diabetic? One of our resident diabetics.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's not something you see referenced really in literature or comics or anywhere. It's sort of one of those forgotten disabilities, and I think really, especially because a young kid with type 1 diabetes, I don't think a lot of people realize sort of the trials and tribulations both parents and kids go through once type 1s are diagnosed, sort of the how regimented and responsible a young kid has to become very quickly in order to be to stay alive. Right. I mean, it's getting a lot easier these days with sort of the implants you can have, so you can read your blood sugar right off your smartphone and your parents can monitor it from afar. But not so long ago, kids were, you know, test stripping 8 times a day and checking after every meal before meals and having to carry, you know, a can of soda or a candy bar. And insulin was not either easily obtainable or easily taken. Until recently when they came up with the more efficient pens and the kid-friendly needles. And it can be a real task to keep a kid going who's a type 1, and especially if it's severe. Mm-hmm. So it's nice. It's a nice look at, I mean, and a horrible look at how bad hypoglycemia can be if you're not ready for it. And to bring that up in a comic and to show kids that this is, you know, other people deal with this, and he gets to deal with it, and, of course, in a fantastical way, but it does strike home that it's a real thing. It's a real trial for people who are not ready for it. And I get this day and age is getting easier to deal with thanks to technology, and that's great. But it's just a rare thing. Even in 2010-11, clearly you weren't rocking smartphone apps to track your blood sugar on your kids. So it's and the book itself is fun. I had never really been familiar with Sean Murphy. I adored his artwork during this. It is excellent and festive and fun, and it draws you in. And it's one of those art styles and backgrounds that he put so much time and effort into what was going on in the background. Like Stacey was saying, there's like 101 childhood toys in this book, right? And they're hidden behind, you know, every third panel you find something. There was something I wanted to pull out of the pages and play with even more than read the comic book. So it was a great romp. It's a good story. It's well told. And I liked everything about this book. And you're right, it's just an accessible 8-issue. I don't know. I think Mike mentioned it's also just sort of a rarity to see something for younger people to come through Vertigo. And it's just it was just a good decision on everybody's part. And it just came through fantastic. I love this book.
One thing that you said in the last time we talked about this is that kids had to become their own stewards for their health, which at an incredibly young age. I do have a friend of mine whose 14-year-old son is diabetic and a little, at first, a little reticent about wearing the pump in public. And then he really got into steampunk, and they made his pump that he has to wear steampunky. They put a couple clock gears on it, a couple of just very minor very, you know, camouflagey things to put on it to make it more steampunk. And he loves his pump. He'll show his pump off now because of that steampunk aspect of it. So very cool parents and very cool. But this kid, like you say, you know, he has to be, you know, his own steward of his health at a young age. But I think is very tough. Just taking care of this rotting corpse that I call a body is difficult. God help me if I ever have anything go wrong with it.
And we get asked a lot when we do our panels at the different cons by educators or librarians, like, hey, what's a good readily accessible book I can pick up for the school library that, and this is the perfect book for us to recommend along with, you know, some, all the other ones that we do. I like recommending this one because, again, even if a person isn't into superheroes, it introduces them to the form and the medium that we love in a story that you don't have to be into superheroes. You get to learn one that you can have a high fantasy adventure in a comic book if you want. I think one of the greatest things about this is the dichotomy. It's an epic quest of life and death. At the same time, it's such a small story about a kid just trying to get to the refrigerator to get a soda to save his life. And it's all intertwined at the same time it's happening. And I love that aspect of it.
And I just wanted to add, there's only been one other time I remember even seeing a diabetic superhero. Does anyone remember that? It was also high fantasy. It's kind of silly, but it was kind of a great movie to me. I loved it. Hansel and Gretel.
I was going to say Underdog, but hey, whatever.
That was not insulin, you monster.
That's why he needs that sweet poly purifier.
That dog was always eating chocolate bars, and he was always taking pills.
Hansel and Gretel, the diabetic aspect wasn't handled very well. Hansel had the sugar sickness because he tried eating an entire gingerbread house as a child. All right, that's not how you get diabetes. You're assholes for saying that. But he did have to take insulin every time his little clock went off, and part of the storyline is that he did miss, you know, one of his insulin shots, and he is ineffective in a battle because of it and is taken prisoner. So I can't remember any other time in a high fantasy or superhero genre where that's addressed. That's only one. Two now. Yeah, two. Yep. Anybody else have any last things they want to say about Joe the Barbarian? Like, this gets like our highest ranks. These are 16s and 17s across the board for most of us.
Why don't we just do a 3 to 18, Tom?
Want to do a 3 to 18? Joe the Barbarian, 3 to 18. Let's go, Mikey.
I'm going to give it a 17.
Josh?
I'm with Mike. Standing on 17.
Stace?
17.
Tommy?
17.
I'm going to go 17 too. You know, there are very few 18s in my mind. Kiss Saves Christmas, that's one of them. but that's really up there. I mean, that's about as good as you get. Terrific all around. Moving on. Mike, what do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, Marvel, you did it to me again, you sons of bitches.
Number one?
Just when I think I'm out, I'm like, oh, holy shit, look at the cover art on this comic book. It's written by Christopher Priest. I fucking love Christopher Priest. I'm talking about John Walker, U.S. Agent. Issues number one and two are out on the stands, and if you get a chance to check out the cover of one or two, they are just spectacular. And, you know, I love me some Christopher Priest. He's kind of hit or miss. Like, I loved his Black Panther run. I loved him on Quantum and Woody. Wasn't a big fan of Deathstroke or Justice League. And this gives me no reason to like John Walker, unfortunately. If you want a kooky buddy cop movie with a senior citizen Chinese guy teamed up, he basically is doing Remo Williams. Tom, you might like this series, but other than that, no one else will.
Well, Do we got some Shinanju mixed in there? What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's not great. But if you're a Remo Williams fan, check it out. That's all I got.
I think I might check this out. Tommy, what do you got the bag in the long box?
So I have a book called Snow, Volume 1 by Morgan Luthy. It's published by Tokyo Pop. It's listed as a manga, but it's not really a manga because you don't read it backwards. But it's a good book.
Purist.
Yes. But it's a good book. It's a story about this race called the Warmongers, and they created this weapon called Ghost. And wherever Ghost goes, they send him ahead to sort of destroy all the weapons and sort of everything on a planet before they come and take it over. And so this character Ghost is one of the most feared things in the universe because nobody really has had any luck stopping or slowing down Ghost. And wherever he goes, there's nothing left but ash. And so the story starts with just Ghost and everybody trying to stop Ghost and not having any success. And then it sort of jumps to this place on the outer rim of the galaxy that is just a place where nobody wants to be. It kind of reminded me of Palmer, Mass, to tell you the truth. It was loaded with just kind of the just place nobody wanted to be. People just picking up whatever jobs they could, doing whatever they could to survive. And this guy was out there with no memory trying to survive and got picked up in a gang. But it was a gang that was set out to do good. They were just kind of trying to steal to survive and to redistribute power from all of the evil gangs that were there and just would steal food and stuff and distribute it to people that were on the streets. And he got in with them. And it's a story about this character who slowly regains his memories and falls in love with this one of these leaders of this gang. And it's a really nice story about love, destruction, robots, warmongers. And it's a good read. It's about 180 pages. You can read it in a few hours because it's manga. So.
I thought you said it wasn't manga.
They call it manga. I don't call it manga.
They call it manga. It's a good name for a punk band.
It is.
Yes. It is. I'm sorry, that was a bit of a tangent there. Josh, you got a tangent for us?
Yeah, so I was watching some old favorites this week, and I have to ask the group, what is your favorite science fiction comedy?
So many good ones out there. I think I know Mike's.
What's mine?
Wait, what's mine?
Wait, what's mine?
I don't know everyone's, but Mike, you really go on and on about Galaxy Quest a lot.
Yeah, no, probably. That wasn't even the first thing that came to my mind.
All right, my apologies.
But no, it's good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Galaxy Quest is the perfect Star Trek movie. But for me, the first thing that came to mind is Spaceballs, because if I come across it on TV, I will stop and I will watch Spaceballs every time.
Yeah, well, I won't do that because it's on so often. I've seen it enough times. It's great. I do love it. But that doesn't make me stop every time. What makes me stop every time, and it's rarely on, but I will go find it, Ice Pirates.
I was going to say, so Spaceballs and Ice Pirates are my two favorites.
Yeah.
But Ice Pirates is harder to find. It's so much harder to find.
That's because space herpes. Yeah.
It is. It is. Nobody wants to deal with the space herpes.
Nobody wants to deal with space herpes. I love Ice Pirates.
But Ice Pirates has, like, it has robots. It has comedy. It has all the things that I like.
Spencer for Hire. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
And space herpes, sexy girls, a boy and his girl, a child being born, and then going through time.
I was
going
to say, it has probably one of the best time travel scenes ever. Right, Josh?
Yep.
I can neither confirm nor deny. I do love Ice Pirates, so don't get me.
Ice Pirates is a terrific. Yeah. It's my number one. What was yours, Tommy? You were saying you're vacillating?
I think they're almost equal for me. Because
all right, like, for you, it's a tier. It's okay.
Yeah, because, like, Spaceballs is definitely the more, like, casual. You can put it on and do other things. But Ice Pirates is such a rarity to find that if I see it on, I will probably sit down and watch it for nostalgia's sake because I know it's not as accessible.
Well, I got a DVD now. Stace, what about you?
So the first thing that came to my mind, and it's probably just because I've been revisiting a lot of them, is Mystery Science Theater 3000. Specifically, my favorite episode is Prince of Space.
Are those going to be Heads of Kronos?
No. Manos is good, but Manos is not my favorite episode. But yeah, so probably Prince of Space. But I was also thinking about, like, Futurama, because I would consider that kind of science fiction, because it's, you know, time travel, and probably the show that I've seen, that and The Office are probably the two shows I've seen the most and can quote some episodes line for line.
All right, Josh.
I was watching Galaxy Quest when the question came to mind, so I will elevate Galaxy Quest to pretty close to the top of my list. And I love Spaceballs, and man, I haven't seen Ice Pirates in probably a decade or two. If it's, you know, I've just gotten out of the habit of actually watching TV, so I would actually have to go out of my way to find Ice Pirates, and it's never really come
it's
to
never
mind.
On any of the streaming services.
I'll have to go find it now. Now I have
it
to.
It might actually be on YouTube.
Which is weird, because Amazon has... Amazon Prime always has tons of shitty, shitty science fiction.
It's true.
They got Hawk.
Oh, yeah. I've watched a lot of it.
Yeah. And the first Back to the Future. I really like the first Back to the Future. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it's time travel.
Yes. Even though that teenager's best friend is a 60-year-old mad scientist that they never explain how those two guys hooked up, became best friends. Didn't seem weird to anybody?
Josh was friends with us. We were like 10 years a senior. Just times that by about 20 or 30.
Yeah, but he's got a good secret origin story. His dad made him come over to my house.
Good, fine. I was friends with Mr. Perry. Nothing weird there.
It's a little weird. I was friends with my neighbor, Mr. McCleary, because he taught me how to fix a clock.
Yeah. He wasn't your best friend, though, was he?
Oh,
he was
clock.
Not my best friend.
Clock.
Tick-tock, Tom. Tick-tock.
Fine. I get worried there. That was really going into your origin story too deep here. Is that everybody? Everyone's got their locked in? You good? You set? Yeah. Locked? All right. So no one's number one was Galaxy Quest?
Josh's.
Wow.
Mine.
Oh, it was yours. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody had Pluto Nash?
Pluto Nash took a lot of shit.
And rightfully so. As a terrible
Blank
movie.
Man?
I had no follow-up to that.
Okay.
No follow-up to
no
that.
Follow-up. There's no
follow-up.
That was
the
end
of
the sentence.
To like everything. I got no follow-up.
That shook a lot of shit. That was a period at the end of that sentence.
Yeah.
As well it should have.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Speaking of science fiction, we should also mention we have a YouTube channel called The Long Box Guys, and we have just posted a video of season 2 of The Mandalorian where we spoil the shit out of it. And I got to say, we spend an hour and a half, almost 2 hours talking about 8 hours of television. We are charming as hell. And all the special guests that we have, I was just impressed when I rewatched it and thought, man, that is a bunch of good points those good looking people are making on my screen.
I mean,
so
one of the important takeaways.
No Tom in this one.
There's no Tom in that one because Tom hadn't bothered to watch Mandalorian yet. I'll just say one of the strong takeaways from that whole YouTube video, Mike, is strong eye contact with chickens. This is a thing that every person should be aware of. Go watch the video if you want to find out what that's all about. But I'm just telling you, strong eye contact with chickens. Get in there.
I would watch that movie.
That was actually the name of my last sex tape.
It was the sequel to Men That Stare at Goats. That's a pretty good pull. Come on, give me more than that. Fuck you.
All right, 1 point to Hufflepuff.
Oh! Hufflepuff 3. Awesome.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Tracy. Tracy, it's your mom. Stacy.
Is there a Tracy here? No.
Stacy, do you have a toy for us today?
I do. I have one of my Christmas presents, actually. It is Black Cat.
Nice.
Oh.
Done in the style of the old Toy Biz 90s one.
Tiny waist, giant bosom.
Yeah, I mean it's a little better, but
the claw on the whip is pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the boots.
She comes with a cat.
Oh, Black Cat's cat. Anyone name it?
Oh man, no. And I feel bad about it.
Well, if it's anything like the toy, it looks like it's high.
Trippy?
Yep. High cat.
Trippy the cat.
Trippy the high cat.
Do you know, Tom, or you were just throwing that out there for the universe to answer?
I was tossing that out there because I thought for sure Stacy would pull my fat out of the fryer on that one.
Sorry.
I know the cat has a name, I just don't know it. I'll go with Trippy.
That
Trippy
great.
The drugged up cat. Who got you that one, Stace?
That was my husband.
Did it come with anything? Did it come with any tchotchka, like a piece of another one?
Oh, no. No, just the cat.
Because I kind of hated those. Like one piece of mojo? Come on, man.
Oh, you know there's some really good ones, together. Though. Like, there's some really good Build-A-Figures out there. Like, I mean, I think we've talked about Fin Fang Foom, but that is one of the best toys.
I think what she's saying, Tom, is don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love.
Good point, right. As always, my good friend Tom. And that'll bring us over to plugs. Anyone got anything to plug? Stuff we love.
I'd like to plug our Patreon. Patreon.com/TheLongBoxGuys. For a mere $1 a month, you can get an extra special podcast done almost every week by us called The Geek Leak. It might be a drip for you, but it burns for us. And we talk about everything else we love besides comics on The Geek Leak. And it's a new year, so we might be doing something different. Who knows? But here's the great thing. Not only do you get the podcast, you also get to donate to charity. Because every
moral points.
Every dollar, every cent that we get, unlike the fucking wall that they were building for Trump, every cent of this actually legitimately goes to the Elizabeth Peabody House so we can help the food bank over there, which our good friend Tom runs.
Thanks. We help about 80 to 100 families a week lately, which is up about 20% pre-COVID, sorry. And it really does go directly to buying the necessities that I can't get donated. So, and please don't think of them as luxury items, because if they're luxury items, then I don't know what living is, because I'm talking about simple things like coffee, soap, cooking oil, things I can't get at the food banks because these things aren't donated as much, that are hard to get, that just make life just damn livable. Kids cereal. I love making sure that I have, with a family that has kids, I love making sure that they have cereal. Because when I was a kid, if I didn't have cereal, that was not a good day. Right? Everybody agree with that? Cereal as a kid?
Yeah, Saturday morning, cereal's the best.
Cereal's the best. I miss Saturday morning cartoons with a big bowl of cereal. I miss Saturday
my mom
morning
used
cartoons.
To dump the hot laundry on me while she would fold it while I was sitting on the couch watching cartoons when I was a kid. So you'd just be sitting under this giant steaming pile of warm laundry from the dryer, and then she would just fold it off me. It was amazing. It's about one of the best things. I was like, the most warm, comforting thing.
I give my wife something I call the knockout punch on cold nights. She takes a shower, and while she's in the shower, I take the hair dryer and I warm up the sheets for her. So when she jumps into bed, she's in hot, hot sheets, and she is out like a light. Not unlike that guy from Wonder Woman.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Speaking of Wonder Woman 84, that's what we're going to do next week. So if you have not seen Wonder Woman 84, I can't believe you're listening to this podcast, but also we are going to do a review of it next week, and we are going to spoil the shit out of it. Speaking of being spoiled, if you want to spoil somebody in your life, you go over to geekorthodox.com.
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 Hello, Demi.
Geekorthodox.com, purveyor of the finest in geeky wear and other accoutrements. If you want Johnny Skywalker's rocks glasses, you can go over there. If you want a Hufflepuff static cling to display in your window, you can go over there. If you want a personalized stained glass window for your house, go on over to geekorthodox.com and talk to our good friends Ian and Tammy and tell them the Long Box guys sent you, and it'll get you nothing as a discount.
Nothing. Though you get a great, great Christmas card from them about Tugboat and life. And boy, I do love those guys. Those are terrific people.
They are.
Love you guys.
They are.
And we should also thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at KirbyCracklemusic.com.
I'm going to go on record right now. By the end of the year or 2022, we go see Kirby Crackle at some point.
They just released another album on Bandcamp.
Oh, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Do you remember any album off the album?
I do not, but because last time I went on the Bandcamp to buy their album, I bought it twice, so I'm very hesitant to go on to Bandcamp because I don't know how technology works.
We're all getting old, Mike. I will buy this one.
All right, Mike, now Bandcamp, you can add it to a cart and buy it and download it after you bought it from the cart.
Carts thing. Okay, good.
And I could also go over there to support Angry Johnny and the Killbillies, right?
Angry Johnny and the Killbillies, yes.
Because What's the
web address for that, or is that a Bandcamp?
Well,
also?
I mean, you can get all of his music on Bandcamp, or if you want to buy merchandise, you can go over to GetAngry.com, and there are links to the Killbill store at GetAngry.com.
And I think I ask you this every week, but what's your favorite Angry Johnny and the Killbillies song?
Well, my favorite Christmas song of theirs is Six Bullets for Christmas. But I also like Whiskey as their other song is another good one. Or they have so many great songs. Karen Lynn's a great song. You know, there's just so many great psychobilly songs.
Yeah, psychobilly. I'm going to go see so many concerts when this is all lifted. My wife and I are calling this the year of happy. We're going to do everything that makes us happy as soon as we can. Josh, you have anything to plug? Yeah, you've been kind of quiet up there.
Do I have anything to plug? Let me think about that.
Keep thinking. I'll move to Stacy, who I know has a couple of good podcasts to plug.
I do. If you go over to theretronetwork.com, you can listen to podcasts. You can read blog posts. We even have a couple of YouTube videos. You can find things about our favorite movies, our favorite TV shows, favorite commercials, all things nostalgia. We even have a couple of YouTube videos where some of the guys will open old wax packs of bubblegum cards. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff over on theretronetwork.com.
And what is your Instagram so people can see that awesome black cat?
It is at Geeky Vixen, and that is all one word.
Mm.
Very nice. Very nice.
And Tom, you do a great job at running our Twitter page, at the Long Box Guys. I'm sure you've been talking about the sad, untimely passing of Luke Harper.
Yeah, Brody, 41 years old, so very, very young. He died of a lung complication, not COVID-related. He recently just had a great run as the AEW World Champion, came in as a main bad guy and leader of the Dark Order. From everything I've ever read about this guy, he was one of those weird, gentle giants in the back room who all the new boys could go and talk to and chat to, and he was just a lovely, lovely, gentle man. And very, very light in the ring and kind of looked at sometimes. Just a great guy, and his passing is just very, very untimely and very sudden. He was no one saw this coming. His wife, everyone around him said, like, no one saw this coming. Damn it, 2020. You just took so many great folk.
Sons of bitches.
You sons of... But 2021's got to get better. Come on, guys. Come on. Give me a little hope. Come on, guys. A little happy. Come on, smile, John. Come on, Lindsey Graham. Smile over there. Come on. That's a Saturday Night Live reference that only I like. But fine. Tom likes that, too. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh... The world at large, is that your sector?
No.
Not yet.
My sector is inside my four walls, staring out at my inflatable AT-AT and waiting for spring to come.
I thought that came out. They came out good?
Oh, yeah, my AT-AT looks fantastic.
Send some pics. Did you get many buckets? You got one bucket set up, did you?
I didn't get one bucket set up.
You got one bucket. Damn it.
It's still in my craft room, and it came out terrible, and I was embarrassed to put it out.
All right, fine. But we want a picture of the AT-AT. Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, got anything left to say?
Help me, Georgia. You're my only hope. Help me, Georgia. You're my only hope.
God, they are raising some money down in Georgia. Tommy, we should do like a political podcast. We're the only two wonked. Well, Mike's got like a half a wonk, but he can't get into it all that much. Stace.
Yes.
Anything else to add?
Yeah, so I will just continue to say, as somebody who is still recovering from COVID, wear your masks. Be kind to each other.
Stace, are you trying to say it's real?
It's real. It is real.
It's real. It's damn real.
Yeah.
And like a giant RV that's playing downtown, you should really step at least 100 feet away from us. I'm sorry, it's a Nashville bombing reference.
Well, yeah, and let's... I used to live near Nashville, so, and I have friends and family in Nashville, so sending some love to my people in Nashville. I miss that city immensely, and I'm very sad for what's happening.
Yeah, it's terrible. Unfortunately, only a few people injured in that horrific attack, brought on by stupidity and lack of knowledge of science. This guy probably thought 5G was making him nuts or something. Tommy, you had something to add there?
I was going to say, I love Nashville. Nashville has some great museums, and the Lane Auto Museum.
I was about to say, the Lane Auto Museum, I don't love cars the way Tommy loves cars, but I love the Lane Auto Museum. It is so much fun. And they have a ton of cool scooters, too.
Yeah, and just have so many great memories of Nashville.
And, yeah, I was there for Con of Thrones last year. Nashville's a great city. Had a lot of fun. Great food. Sorry, Nashville. Terrible beer. But other than that, it was a good time.
Terrible beer, my ass. You didn't find any good beer that time. You'll find good beer next time. You know what to avoid.
Or they don't make good beer. Who knows? I can't tell.
Tennessee makes good whiskey. What do you want? They can't do everything.
I'm not asking for everything.
Just want one decent beer.
Just like one good beer.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't just what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live longer. Thanks for the long box, guys.
Can't see it now.
You're talking about Wonder Woman's boyfriend Trevor taking over that other guy's body, and then them having a lot of sex.
Yeah,
you're right. But she kind of
sexually assaulting him before he wakes up.
It's not like he's in a K-hole or anything.
Oh, and he doesn't remember it. So roofie sex is okay. Fine. It's is that right. What you're saying?
It's fine.
This is more mystical. No, this is more
a mystical roofie. That's what it is. The guy wasn't consciously aware of what was happening to his body, and he wakes up having had sex. What do you call
that? Miguel Godot, his arms.
Dare you, sir? It doesn't count because she's hot.
Wow.
So what you're saying is, I take an Ambien. I'm 3/4 asleep. My wife comes in and has her way with me, and I can't do anything about it, and I'm not raped? Is that what you're trying to say, Tom?
If Gal Gadot
because that's not how his fan fiction
you're
works.
Raped, you're just a lucky bastard. I don't know what to say.
How it is, Tom.
What if that guy was gay? I mean, did you see the fucking pirate outfit?
I was thinking that, though. That would have been a really hilarious caveat.
Did you see that guy's wardrobe?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that's like hilarious. She raped a gay guy. Oh, yeah, I see how it is now.
Gal Gadot, so,
I didn't even think of it like that until you guys put it in my head, you monsters.
It's okay to be raped if they're hot.
Okay if they're raped if they're hot, yeah. That's right. Because he was asking for it.
Going around banging chicks.
He was asking for it.
It doesn't matter. It's hot.
Body stuff.
You know, and the other thing we'll get into this when we do the Wonder Woman 84 review.